Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Hey guys, what's going on? Later on tonight, we're actually going to be recording a video of us playing Broforce while drinking. We turned it into a drinking game. Chad, my girl, well, you guys are going to know her name. Her name is Sam. And myself, we played one night and we just made it up on the spot and it works really well. So you'll see that video hopefully in a couple weeks or so. If it might be dog shit and we never post it, but that's the plan. And so in honor of the Broforce drinking game we're going to record tonight, Chad, you had a drinking game you want to talk about?
Yeah. Okay. So my favorite is called Harmon Killer Brew. And it's actually really fun to play with girls. A lot of girls don't play drinking games. They think it's silly. But this one's actually really good for playing in mixed company. Basically, you are in a circle, and one guy starts off and says a person's name. Famous, fictitious, whatever. It's just somebody else that people have to know who this is. So somebody says a name, say Michael Jackson. So then the next person in line has to start their name off with the J from Jackson. So it could be like Janis Joplin. So then Janis Joplin has double J's, so it actually reverses and goes back to the other person. And you keep doing that, and it's a quick game. You have 3 seconds to give an answer. If you don't give an answer, then you have to drink. If you repeat a name that's already been said, the names, once they're said, are completely off the table. So once
for the rest of the night.
For the rest of the night, yeah. So you start pulling really deep into your bag of tricks. But the point of the game is to get to an H. And then if somebody gets to an H, the next person says Harmon Killebrew, who, side story, was a baseball player. But his last name is Killebrew. So if you get to Harmon Killebrew, then the next person in line has to kill their brew. And then the game starts over. He starts with a name, and then you go on like that.
So you have to finish your drink, in other words. Yeah. Even if you just poured it.
Yeah. So that's the game. It's really quick. It's a lot of fun. You don't really have to pay too close attention. But then if you're not paying attention, you might not know a name's been said.
Right.
And then you
Which
say
happens
it.
A lot. Yeah. Even if you are paying attention, you end up saying the same fucking name over and over.
Yeah.
But it's really good with girls because they know a lot more famous people.
Yeah, exactly.
And like guys are like Superman, Spider-Man. And then they're
Most guys are like sports characters. But
yeah, I don't know.
Not in this company.
What?
How about you?
This one is got to be... Well... It's really Chad's game, and I just kind of co-opted it.
But it's really good, so everybody that plays it likes it.
No one I've ever known, and this is hell, I've known this guy for fucking 15 years, never has anybody played this game for the first time and not thrown up. Every single time that it's a new player.
I was going to say, never has anybody played and not had fun.
No.
But you went a different direction.
No, thrown up, yeah. Well, dude, it's called Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I won't get into the specifics, but... Basically, you have a 50-50 chance most of the time. Well, it starts to dwindle. You start with a 50-50, and it starts to dwindle your chances of winning. And when you win, you give out drinks. When you lose, you drink drinks. And then eventually you get ugly, which is finish your drink, right?
Or a shot.
Usually,
a shot.
Anyway, Shoulders is my favorite. And I got a good story about this one. Sorry. Okay. So... It's very simple. It's kind of like a Simon Says kind of thing, and you're doing gestures, right? And you're trying to count to 20 with your friends. But every number has a gesture. And if somebody fucks up one of the gestures, they have to drink. And so you're kind of looking like a bunch of retards just doing all these things.
Have you ever played this game with us, Mom?
I've never even heard of this game.
Oh,
it's
this
awesome. Fun. It's so good. But here's my favorite story about this. So we were in Cancun, and we're playing this game nonstop. Breakfast was Shoulders. Lunch was Shoulders.
Did you introduce them to the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
Half the guys knew it.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're drinking all these beers. And to the point where guys were just like, no more. And like, no, you're fucking playing, right? Because nobody wanted beer that shitty Mexican beer anymore. So So we go down to the beach, and there's like 12 of us or something, and we have beer because you can do whatever you want in Mexico. And I was like, guys, let's play shoulders on the beach in a big standing circle, and girls will ask us what we're playing and want to join, and we'll meet
naturally,
girls, right?
Obviously,
that's the plan.
That's
right?
The plan.
Going in. So we're in a big circle, we're playing shoulders, and we're having a good time. Whatever, the beers are hot and shit, it doesn't matter.
This was back before you drank beer, right?
I don't know. Maybe it was about around the same time.
Okay.
So anyway, this fucking guy comes up. He goes, ¿Qué están jugando? Ustedes muchachos. And what are you guys playing? And my buddy turns, the funniest one of us, Efren, turns to him and he says something to him. And he turns back around and he's laughing. And we're like, what happened? He goes, he asked us what we were playing. And he's like, what'd you tell him? I said, this game's not for him. And he goes, I go, why? He goes, he only has one arm. So I look at the guy walking down the beach. He's got one arm fucking going down the beach.
It's only funny because you need both your arms to play the game.
Yeah, you need both.
He hasn't preferenced the story.
No, I said you need gestures
but
in order. Nobody's gesturing with one arm except for this. Fuck you, dude, for fucking up the story.
Well... That's fun. Let's get into games.
Boy. Yeah, so we're going to get wasted and throw up tonight. So
yeah, I'm excited for this.
Exciting. At my place,
too. At Bobby's place, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So Bobby gets to clean it up, right?
Yeah, I live on the 11th floor, so, be careful on the balcony.
Yeesh.
Do you even have a balcony? Oh, you do.
Yeah, you can't get near the edge, you pussy.
Yeah, I'm scared of heights.
Bob, are you okay on the edge?
Like, oh, yeah,
you lean on that thing and stuff? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude, I'm Spider-Man on that shit.
It's funny, you don't know anybody until you get out on a ledge, because I used to be on a 11th floor as well, and then some people just will not go near the railing, just period.
Really, you know what's strange to me is I've noticed a lot of people are scared of driving over freeway bridges, especially the Coronado Bridge that we have out here in San Diego. Some people will not drive over that. They freak out. If they're a passenger, then they like curl up in a ball. Like, I don't know, it seems ridiculous to me.
It's a tight bridge, but I don't have a problem with it.
I was a kid, I had a phobia about bridges over water for some reason. I had bad dreams, but not anymore.
See, especially Coronado Bridge, I feel like I'm in Need for Speed or something, man. Like, I hit that thing, and I'm just like, video. Yeah, it's got like that bend to it, so I'm like, yeah, especially at night. Yeah. It's like a straight up video game. I don't know. I think video games have desensitized me to a lot of things in real life like that.
Like violence and all. All our politicians.
And maybe violence. I don't know. I'm not around violence a lot, so. I don't know. We'll know.
Let's get into games, shall we?
Yeah, so you guys have been playing Vanishing of Ethan Carter. It was on sale on Steam for like $5, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
Normally 20.
Who sent this to me? Puppy Parade sent me one.
Can I do a shout out real quick? So last week I had mentioned that a listener of ours had told us about some issues we had with the podcast, and I couldn't think of his name. And I asked him to hit me up. Well, he did. It was Rasculus, so I wanted to give a shout out to Rasculus because I promised him.
He's like, "Fucker, get me my notoriety."
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so now he's running, mom, listen to this. Or
I don't know. He sounds old. He sounds older. Like, it's
honey.
He's got good. He's got good grammar, and also, I think he's older. Good but anyways, go back into it.
So. This is one of those games that goes on sale, and you look at it, and you're like, oh, well, I don't know. This is on one of the top games that I've clicked on and thought about buying and never pulled the trigger. I've done it probably 15 times. Mm-hmm. Every time it goes on sale, I click through it. And that was a big mistake. I should have bought this a long time ago. Well, I guess I'm enjoying it just as much as I would have then, but this time I got it for free. Puppy Parade bought it from some cheap, he said, fucktard website or something like that, and they gave him two copies, so he gave me one. So
awesome. And thank you, Puppy.
Yep. And I also want to thank again Clown Lotion for giving me that game a couple weeks ago too.
Ori and the Blind Force,
that got erased off our last recording, so I just want to give him a shout out.
Oh.
And I said then, if you want me to play something that week, send it to me. Not that I'm asking for games, but it's the least I could do.
Yeah.
So this game is fucking awesome, man. Some of the best graphics out of the box that I've ever seen on my rig. That's saying something. But like a fully modded Skyrim is probably prettier, but that's because I've customized it to what I like. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This game, just out of the box, playing it. There was a couple hiccups when I was like sprinting.
It would lag for just.
It would lag for just a second here and there.
Well, I want to say this game has similar a similar landscape to Skyrim too. It's very green and lush, and lots of trees and stuff. Right? Yeah. I haven't even played it yet, but from I've seen plenty of screenshots and heard a lot about it.
I uploaded 11. You know, I'm not a screenshot guy. I uploaded 11 screenshots playing this game just because it was so pretty.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like vistas.
Yeah.
And like when you walk out on them and you see these like big vista views. It's just really like pretty. I like had to take screenshots.
So essentially, what is this? I'm probably alienating a lot of our listeners, but Myst. It's very close to Myst. It's just a first-person game that, you know, there's no enemies.
You never see the character that you play?
No, not yet. There is enemies.
Oh, there are. Oh, I haven't seen any.
Dude.
Fuck you, man.
One of the biggest gotcha moments.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah. I knew it.
Don't give it away. No, I'm not telling you where or when or how. I'm just saying the biggest gotcha moment of this year for me was right here in the vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Did you scream?
I think I jumped out of the chair for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Fuck, damn, that sucks. But anyway, so I was playing this game for maybe 3 minutes when I'm like, this game was made for Chad. So
yeah.
It's like a detective. Mystery.
Yeah.
Start that kind of puzzle also.
Yeah.
Bit of puzzle, and it's got somewhat of a horror vibe to it.
And it's definitely got a supernatural.
Yeah.
Like, there's ghosts kind of involved and stuff.
What I thought was really clever about the storytelling, there's a few things, is it's such a vast world, and it tells you at the beginning, we're not going to hold your hand.
Yeah.
But they kind of do in that if you find one clue, it will kind of show you where the next clue is.
Does it?
Yeah.
I never got that.
You don't have the question marks that all go together? And
okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So you can... And I really like those little question marks where, like, what is your character thinking? Mm-hmm. Like, all the options. It's a lot like Sherlock on the BBC, if you've ever seen it. All these little words are coming up of what he's thinking when he's looking at that thing. That happens in this game. Hmm. Also, a great bit of storytelling was... you were there looking for Ethan Carter, and he was a very imaginative boy. And when you find these little places where he used to play, you could, because you're psychic or something, you could go into his memories of what he was pretending to be. Did you do the space thing?
Yeah, the space one was cool.
That's so fucking cool, man. And so I don't think those things are pretty independent of the main story itself, but still wonderfully entertaining. And, just a nice touch, I thought.
Yeah, and...
Did you do the witch one as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
The witch one doesn't really, like... You just hit it, and then it just kind of does its thing. But, like, for example, so when I first played it, it tells you it's not going to hold your hand. So you start going, and the first thing you go up to is you start hitting these traps, and it's starting to, like, reveal more and more. Did you see these right at the very beginning?
Yeah, I tripped, like, 3 traps, but they didn't hit me.
But if you release them all, it does another story.
Oh, I know.
Another story, but a little segment.
Oh, interesting.
So I hit like 5 of them, and nothing happened. And then I moved on to the first murder.
Right.
And I started exploring, but I didn't find all the puzzle pieces there. So then I just kept moving on. So I hadn't like figured... So then I got into the town, sort of, and then I figured out kind of more things that were going on. And then I started the game over, and... went through and actually could found all the traps and went in and figured out the murder. So like the first time through, it was like exploring and trying to just figure out. And then I started over one that was real. I could have just gone back and done it without restarting. But.
So for the first murder and for the space thing, both times I was headed to the town and I go, no, wait, there must be something more. And I went back twice. Oh, the first one, I didn't know that unveiled something. So that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I highly recommend this game. But I've already heard probably 2 or 3 people that dislike this a lot. So there is no action, right, pretty much.
Yeah. Well,
it's eerie and it's slowly paced.
Atmospheric.
Atmospheric. So it reads like a book. It plays like a book.
And it's a puzzle game at its root.
Yeah.
So it's if you're looking for action, because it's built on a first-person kind of perspective, so I think it part of the problem is people think first-person, think action, and this isn't that.
Dude, when I got into the second house, I was like, what the fuck? This is just like the... So good.
I have not cheated in any way, but I got really close because I couldn't find the fucking mine opening. Did you have a problem?
Oh, not really. Under 5 minutes.
I looked everywhere I restarted my game and found the mine right away. So I'm wondering if it just didn't activate.
Oh, I don't know.
So.
Anyway, apparently it's under 5 hours long, so it reads like a short story.
I'm over 5 hours played, I'm pretty sure, because I was playing up till like one or two last night.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of puzzles in this game. So, I mean, if you...
It's a lot of searching, which kind of makes sense because you're kind of like a detective.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those puzzle games, the time that it takes to beat it can vary drastically because it takes some people longer to solve different puzzles. And, you know, maybe it's late and you're tired and it's taking you longer to figure one thing out. Kind of like the Swapper. That could take you anywhere from...
It's variable, yeah.
What, like 6-7 hours to like 12, I think.
Are you going to play this one, Bobby?
The Vanishing of Ethan Carter? Yes, at some point I will. I bought it a while ago.
Okay.
And I was actually going to play this, I think, last October when I was going through all those scary games, but someone told me that it wasn't, you know, that really wasn't the driving force.
Yeah, it's not.
Behind it, so...
It is creepy.
Yeah.
But that's
And it's got that supernatural element to it, but it's not, you wouldn't classify this as a horror game.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not at all. I mean, not yet. Maybe it gets darker near the end.
Yeah, but at some point I will play.
Speaking of variable finishing times, I finished Hotline Miami, and I think I came in around 11 hours, 11 and a half hours, and I felt like a failure because whoever recommended it to me, I forgot. Somebody was playing it. I said, how do you like it?
Probably
like,
it's Nick.
He said, it's just like the first. And I go, okay. He goes, man, I almost gave up a few times, but I beat it in 9 hours. And I was like, okay, so 9 hours, I'll beat it in. 11 and a half, something like
that.
Well,
I did watch you for like half an hour throw yourself at this one mission again and again and again.
So just to recap really quick, yes, it's exactly like the first. At some point, you know, Chad came in and he's like, why are you reading the story? And I was like, I said something like, I don't care about the story. Chad said, why are you reading it then? I go, I don't know. And from then that point on, I just gave up on the story. The first game was like, the story was kind of just thrown in there, and that was their whole thing. They were trying to say that a really good game doesn't need a deep story in order to be fun. Just the gameplay is enough to carry it, I think is what the devs were trying to say. And then now this time they kind of went the other way, and they just made it so overly complicated that you wouldn't be able to understand it. It's like they overdid the story, and maybe again on purpose. And so I was like, I'll just play through it and then I'll read the synopsis afterwards. And again, I think some things are just weird for the sake of being weird, like Donnie Darko or like Mulholland Drive. I went online and tried to figure out what those movies are about, and it's just people's opinions, basically.
Yeah.
And this one comes down to opinions as well. It's just like, this is what I thought happened. I don't care about the story. I love the gameplay, though. It's so much fun. The colors are great. The music is probably one of the best I can think of in a game that matches the game so well. So visually, gameplay wise, and the sound is all really good. Controls are great. I read, you know, a few things of what that the guy over at PC Gamer had a problem with. He said that there's...
Well, tell him why you're talking about the PC Gamer.
Because he said he gave it a 57, but the average was like an 87. He said that, you know, there's unavoidable death, and there is. But here's the thing about it. You can restart so fucking fast. Faster than any game I've ever played.
No, maybe not Super Meat Boy. I mean, that's instantaneous.
Is it?
But they pretty much copied that with Hotline Miami. The respawn is instant.
So, do you have to push a button?
In Super Meat Boy? Yeah. I think so. I think you push a button and there you are.
Somehow, like, what if I saw unavoidable bullet coming, I was already pushing R, like on my way to push R, and it was instantaneous. Basically, like, before, as I was dying, you could already restore. So it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Anyway, I had a great time with it. I can recommend it. Even at full price, I can recommend it.
What's the most gruesome death you saw in it? Because that's what this game's about, really. It's seeing the brutality.
One of you guys, one of the guys, has a chainsaw. And then there's the fat guys. And the fat guys can't be killed. They're very tough to kill. But the chainsaw kills them nice and easy. But it does get stuck in them. And the blood fucking just flies. It's just like, argh! You hear it, like, being challenged.
Choked up?
Yeah. Kind of like when I put ice in the blender. It's like, argh! And then it's awesome.
Gross.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hotline Miami 2. I don't know how anyone plays Hotline Miami 1 or 2 with a controller, though.
I couldn't. I played it for maybe 30 seconds, and I'm like, well, this is virtually impossible, so.
Yeah. Because have they released this game on consoles?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure.
Not to my knowledge. Because it's a pretty big game. I would imagine that I would have heard about it.
Yeah.
I don't think it... Yeah, you just can't do it.
Hmm. So, I played a game, a small game. I did... They did a midweek sale this week, and so I went through and was kind of looking at stuff. Most of the games were pretty old, but I saw one that I liked, so I picked it up. It's called The Room. It's a couple bucks. Bobby, have you played this, The Room? I think it originally came out, I think, in 2009 or so, and then they did a remake, and this is the remake of it.
No, I haven't heard of The Room.
Okay, so The Room is it's a puzzle game, and it's basically you're in a room with this big puzzle box, and you got to figure out how to open this puzzle box. That's basically the premise of this story. And it gets more and more kind of dark and kind of twisted, and there's a kind of a story involved now. But the puzzles were really cool, and it was hard enough that I had to think about a lot of these things or search around and try different things, and not so hard that I gave up. So it was a nice balance of difficulty yet still engaging.
Is it first person or is it click?
It's first person. You can kind of like move around. You don't really like move yourself. There's no WASD. You can kind of like circle the perimeter. Puzzle box. So it would be in first person, but it doesn't feel like first person, so to speak.
Right.
It feels like you're a camera kind of floating around in there.
Did you beat it?
Yeah. So it's probably 3 to 4 hours, maybe, depending on your ability to figure out these puzzles.
Right.
And it also does have a hint system, which I tried not to use, but ended up using a couple times.
And you get a limited amount of hints, I'm assuming.
And they slowly build up. But you can turn them off if you want to do it like hard mode, so to speak.
What'd you pay for it?
I think I paid $3 for it.
Oh, nice.
$3.50 or something like that.
Yeah, it looks like it's at $3.75 right now.
Yeah, something like that.
For that kind of, you know, you're paying $1 an hour.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going for now? Because I feel like that's what I got out of Hotline Miami as well.
Yeah.
$1 an hour?
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Maybe that's a new standard.
Sounds pretty cool.
So, Bobby likes puzzle games. I was just wondering if that kind of game interested you.
By the way, Chad's mom takes $1 an hour.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm too mature for this.
That was the most delayed thing ever.
No, I had it for a while, but I was fuck.
You might as well have been like in an hour from now, been like, hey, turn the mic back on. Chad's mom takes $1 an hour. Like, it was that late.
No, dude, after our outro song, you come in, you're like, Emilio insisted on recording a little bit more. And here he goes. Chad's mom.
Wow. That's not true, by the way, listeners. It's $2 an hour.
She's high priced.
Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I like puzzle games. I haven't played any in a long time, although I did just buy the Talos Principle. I haven't played it yet, but I am most certainly going to be playing that. I mean, that's been on the wish list for a long time, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, I enjoy all types of games, but when I play too much of one, then it's definitely time to move on to something different. And it's been a while since a puzzle game, so yeah, it'll be good.
I think a prolonged puzzle game can wear on me.
This one is the right amount.
Yeah, 3 or 4 hours. That sounds pretty good.
But I think you can do a longer puzzle game if you go about it right. Case in point, Portal 1 and 2
yeah.
are both amazing. Portal 1 is like, what, 8 hours? And Portal 2, maybe 10 or 12?
No, I think 1 is like under 2 hours.
No, maybe 4 or 5.
No, Jason beat it in like 45 minutes, dude. Do you remember that?
Maybe if you know all the puzzles, you could like speed run through it. But it, for...
Oh, the game's only like 2 hours long, dude.
Really? I'm not sure this is... Neither of you guys know. You guys are arguing...
I could look up how like hours spent on Portal 1 on my Steam account, but...
I did something else this week, if we're done with the puzzle.
Sure. Yeah.
So, Atari Game Over is a documentary. It's been on Netflix for a little bit, and it's kind of curious. Have you seen this one, Bobby? You watch a lot of documentaries.
No, I did see it on Netflix, and I almost watched it, but I didn't.
Cool story, bro.
No. But it had the logo of that E.T. game, which is notorious for being the game that they tried to bury because...
Well, that's what the story... Basically, so this is about the burying of E.T. And for people that don't know, supposedly in
1982
or 82, when E.T. came out for the Christmas release, it was so bad that... they had millions of copies of this of these cartridges, and so the story goes they went into this New Mexico dump and dumped all these cartridges, and it's kind of been like an urban myth or kind of a story related to it. So this documentary has the story of, it's basically a guy who has spent years trying to discover where they buried it, in the process of him getting permission to have it basically exhumed, this garbage, to see if that stuff is actually in there.
It wasn't very clear when you told me. Did he already work there? Or did he get a job there so he could do the research?
He was working there. He worked there for years.
And heard the rumor.
Yeah, and started doing research on it, and then it became an obsession of his.
Oh, I see.
And then he put all these years into it, and eventually... So, the documentary talks about this and the dig and the outcome of it, but it also wraps it around Atari's kind of start to end process, because if you don't, you guys don't know, E.T. is arguably talked about in most, in a lot of lists as being the worst game ever made, and a lot of people attribute the death of Atari to this singular game
and video games. At that time.
And video games in general.
The whole video game market took a huge dive after this in 83.
Yeah, and so basically, it's kind of a redemption story, because the documentary kind of talks about all the stuff that's going on and has all the players that were involved discussing it and really like what actually happened.
Because, it's a well-made documentary.
Yeah.
For sure. I could tell from the little bit that I watched. It's amazing how you can have a really interesting subject matter, but if the documentary is shot and... Because it's my favorite type of film, I think. It's like the one that we were talking about on Vice the other day. What a super important and interesting thing pro gaming is, and how much money people are making at. But the host kind of just ruined the whole thing.
Yeah.
But the information kind of held it enough. This has a great story, and it's... put together really well. Even my girl sat down, she goes, what's this, and was sucked right in. She just sat down and watched the rest of it with you.
So I was more interested in the history of Atari, because I think that's really cool, because Atari, we can all attribute Atari as basically the creators of video games, right? Not basically, they were, right? They started with Pong.
They were the people that brought it into the home,
the living room.
But they even started with, you know, like they started with Pong too. Like a lot of people think Pong is really one of the first video games.
But they had arcades before that, but Atari was the first one to say, like, hey, you know, you can have a video game system in your home, and made that like kind of like HP, like brought personal computers into the home. But yeah, this story is covered on every single video game documentary, or if you want to know more about Atari, there's a good one called Once Upon Atari, that it's just like a 6-part doc on just Atari in general, and they have the funniest stories there, because those people, this is like the golden years of video game making, where like one person would make a game and they could do whatever they want, work whenever and however they want, as long as they produced good content. So you got all these crazy stories about these guys doing like tons of drugs and locking themselves in their room and This one guy, they used to have these very narrow hallways, and this guy used to, he was a really tall guy, he used to run up them with one leg on each side of the hallway, and people said they'd just be sitting there, and all of a sudden you'd hear this huge rumble, like a thunder, of this guy coming down, and yeah, they got crazy stories, but it's amazing how you could do that back in the day. One person could make a game like start to finish in a couple months. And like that's how simple video games were at that point.
Well, now, I mean, now you have game jams and they do the same thing, you know,
24 hours, but
yeah, but they have huge building
on, building on toolkits. Right.
Yeah. These guys were more engineers than they were just mm-hmm. software design or designers in general. You know,
If you're into documentaries and gaming documentaries, we have a thread on our, group page. If you're not part of our group, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. How did you get onto this podcast if you're not part of the group? Like,
well, we got our ways.
Oh, okay. Well, if you haven't, join it.
Yeah, that's one of our earliest posts, but yeah, we got a lot of good stuff on there. A lot of good gaming docs.
What I found, like,
I told your mom, she spreads the word.
All right, so that's what's going to happen this whole episode. Okay. What I found the like saddest is the guy that actually made E.T., I forget what his name is. Howard Warshaw or something like that.
He got smashed after that. Like his reputation, right?
Yeah. He basically for 30 years, this whole thing crushed him for like 30 years.
Yeah.
And like he's just now like coming back into his own. And he actually goes out to the dig and like talks to people and stuff like that. It was kind of like he was like crying, like it was emotional and stuff.
Did he make any successful games before?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
He said on the documentary that he is the only person that worked for Atari that all his games sold at least 1 million.
Wow.
So like he was the go-to guy, and so when they said we need this game done in 5 weeks, they contacted this guy.
Right.
Howard, I think his name is. They said, talk to this guy, and he said, yes, I can do it in 5 weeks. Even though the average development cycle back then was 6 months,
yeah.
He said he could do it in 5 weeks, and then he just got lambasted.
That's what the failure really came down to, is that Christmas was coming up, and they had to have something to put on the shelves, and they knew that people were going to buy it up because it was a huge fad. And so, they had a really, really short development cycle. And it's almost funny, because I feel like that's happened on a larger scale with a lot of other games. You know, it's like, I can't think of anyone in particular, but there's plenty of games out there that were just rushed to the store a little prematurely. Just
any game ever based on a Disney movie or one of those
any
big
movie
franchises.
Game.
Any movie game, basically.
Yeah, just a pure cash grab.
Yeah.
And they talk a little bit about that in this documentary.
Yeah. So that documentary is called Atari Game Over.
Yeah, Atari Game Over.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix. I know for sure you can watch it on there.
Yep.
There might be some other places where you can watch it. Maybe someone put it on YouTube or...
Yeah.
Or those dirty, dirty torrents.
So I've been playing a lot of Darkest Dungeon. Hopefully getting ready, hopefully, for the interview that we're going to be doing. Got set back a few weeks, but we're definitely going to be doing that. Anyway, they had a patch today. They have some color variations, so you can change the color of... Because you have multiple of the same class. So in order to keep track of them, you can change the color. Yeah, that's pretty cool. But there's some other really cool stuff. Your roster is kind of just a set list. Now you can sort them by a bunch of different criteria. That you could, you know, like which one's ready to go, basically, would be the best one. By the way, have you taken a team out with no healer? I have, and I've done well.
No.
Just because there's so much damage.
I've never had success with that.
It only happened once.
Oh.
So,
there's a couple healers, though, right? There's one guy that's like the cleric, sort of like the real healer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then there's that one guy, the occult guy,
the cultist,
right?
Yeah.
He does the one that does 0 to 10. But
and you're gambling there.
I don't think you could do a boss with no healer, though.
And then... Technically, you also have the poisoner.
No, he's terrible.
But
he's probably the
one.
Worst class, I think.
I kind of dig
the
him.
The plague doctor?
Plague doctor, yeah.
Yeah. And this is interesting. Party combo names. So if you put a certain class group together, it has a name for that group. Like a predetermined name. And like some of them are kind of like hard to get. Or like so you don't know which ones are in there, and they're going to add more later on. But like, you know, if you have the standard, there's probably going to, it's going to be called the standard or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, because I was thinking two crusaders and two clerics. I mean, what's wrong with that? The clerics do good, decent damage on their own. I mean, I haven't done that yet, but
yeah,
it sounds like a pretty strong team. Anyway, I fucking love that game. It's so good.
Yeah.
And I lose a lot. I mean, I lose a lot. I haven't even beat the second boss.
He played the pig boss and killed his whole A squad.
Yeah, my whole A squad wiped out.
Just wiped out. And I was like, well, you might as well start over. He's like, fuck no.
So my own guy, the guy named Emilio, the...
You can.
Yeah. He's a bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you get all these bad traits or whatever? He had two bad traits, the ones that he came with. And he had 8 or 9 good traits, and he went down with that team. Oh my god, did it hurt. That one hurt so bad.
Did the first guy die and you said, just fuck it, let's see if we can do this? Like, did you come close to being the boss?
Well, you can't do it. What can you do?
You can run away.
What?
You can run
away. Emilio was the first one to die, but I don't think you can run.
Yes, you can.
Not from a boss.
Yes, you can.
I looked for options.
You can definitely run away.
So, first and only time my friend... or my character Chad has ever died in any game. Usually,
still mad about this.
Well, I'm glad they finally put in roster sorting. I mean, that is probably the biggest change that I was looking for in Darkest Dungeon, because that makes it so much quicker just sorting through your guys. Because I was always in that position where it's like, okay, who has the lowest stress level? Who's ready to go?
Right.
And I really wish that you didn't have to scroll to see everybody. I wish they would just kind of make two columns or something.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to, like, you could see all your heroes right there and can make selections there.
It's funny, I was going to say that maybe the biggest problem this game has is the UI, but basically the whole game is UI. Yeah. It's all just user interface. I mean, there's not a whole lot of, like, mechanics or physics going on.
I think the last bullet, though, that you have there is one.
Oh, yeah. So, forget about that. So in May, where'd it go?
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah, two new heroes in May.
Yeah.
And bosses,
yeah. And some new dungeons as well. And that's all going to be added. Apparently, one's going to be like a... he's like a armored spellcaster. And then the...
hey, your favorite class.
Yeah, my favorite class. The hodgepodge.
That never seems to work.
Yeah, it never seems to work. And the other one is some sort of healer. So...
is this DLC? Is this paid for content?
No, this is all, you know, remember, it's early access. So this is just like...
updates.
Nice. And yeah, and the guy is like, I forget his name, sorry. He's like, you know, I know it's taking a long time, but I want the content and the patches to be at the equal level so that everything comes out and we keep the same high level of... And that's like awesome. We said.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing everything right. So, I can't wait to talk to him and see why his philosophy isn't more well-known, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't everybody do this?
Do we got time for me to talk about this little blurb here for Dungeon of the
Endless? Yeah, sure, because I cannot figure this game out.
Me neither.
So, yeah.
So I played a couple times.
Right.
Honestly, I put
in... say the name.
I'm sorry. Dungeon of the Endless, which is by the same guys that made Endless Legend. So Dungeon of the Endless is kind of a... turn-based kind of room search roguelike kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't get it either. I played 2 hours or so and couldn't get past the first level.
I want to say that you're on this. I don't know, you were there when I reviewed it, but you basically just did my review. It's like, well, I listed like 15 things that it was, and then what it wasn't was the game that I can win.
Like, I'm carrying... So, the point of the game is you send your guys...
the shiny thing.
You send your guys out, you try to find the exit, and then you go back and you pick up your crystal, which is like your energy source, and get it to the exit. Every time I pick up the thing, he goes into the first room and can't move any further.
Oh, so that's a bug.
So, I don't know if you have to, like, clear the waves out.
That's a bug. No, you can run for it.
Really?
For sure, yeah.
Because I had the third or fourth time I played, it was all set up. I had turrets in every room. Everything was good to go. I took my guy. He walked into the next room, just stood there, and got his ass kicked. Like fucking Bobby Lee and Dragon Hunter. Just fucking get his ass whacked.
If you don't know that reference, look it up. Now. Pause, look it up, come back, laugh.
Bobby Lee in Dragon Hunter 2. That's what it is.
Bobby, do you know that one?
No.
After this podcast.
I know who Bobby Lee is, but yeah.
Anyways, so that's kind of my review of it. So I don't know.
Jeez, I really want to like this game. It's got a lot of like stuff going on.
Endless Legend is so good.
Yeah.
That I feel like this.
It's got to be good.
This developer did it right, and we're just not figuring out. Yeah, how I feel.
I feel the same way. Like, but I feel like you're running into a bug.
Okay, maybe
you
I was.
Should be. Are you trying? Are there bad guys in the room that you can't get out of?
I was trying to click for like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, what am I doing? Maybe
something's going on
because I had turrets set up everywhere, and they were just.
Do you have power all the way to the exit?
Well, I'm holding the crystal, so does it still give me power the whole way?
Maybe you have to make a power route. I don't think so, but anyway.
But I'm going to give this another go because I really, like I said, I really like the developer.
I've given it more than one go. But good luck.
Okay.
Bobby, maybe you can figure it out. You're the smart one.
Yeah. Do you have this game?
Dungeon of the Endless? I don't know if I do.
What? You have you have friend share or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I could always play it off Emilio's account. Yeah. But I might, but... I haven't even played Endless Legend yet. If I was going to play anything, I'd probably play that.
We got to play a three-player way, and we got to stream it. We need to play, because we all know what the fuck we're doing. Chad, you're probably going to win, because you played the most of it.
These are one of those games that I suck at. I'm not good at these games either.
So like the other 90% of games.
Yeah. I'll let you know when I find a game I'm good at. How about we start with that?
Okay.
Does drinking Jeopardy count as
good? God, Chad's really good at that. We turn everything into a drinking game. And no matter what we do. Hey, Chad, you ready for drinking dishes? They're really piling up over there.
I probably would play that if we had that. Don't fuck with me on drinking Jeopardy, though. I will own your ass.
I'm trying to take it easy on this podcast because, as you all know, I get pretty wasted by the end of these things. But I need to keep my skills going because we're going to play Broforce. And you're punished for doing poorly. So I'm trying to get ready for that.
I picture you holding the toilet thrown up. I'm in the sink. And then Sam's in the shower in Bobby's
room. Oh, and just puking, walk out. And just walk out. Later.
And then it just immediately leave.
And he goes, what? You're a Broforce.
Anyway.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So it's not really, again, this isn't really a question. So much as a statement that Clown Lotion, I think, brought up. He said that he wrote a little blurb, if you will, about how Steam stopped him from pirating games. And I felt the exact same way, and so did Bobby. And we've talked about this in past episodes and stuff, but Bobby, I think, puts it the clearest, and he said that he got it from somebody else, but you're really paying for the service. Like, if you pirate a game, first of all, you have to do the pirating portion, and then you have to do the install, and that's all kind of weird. Sometimes some are different. And then every patch, if it's worth it, you have to go get that patch and install it sideways and all this stuff. Meanwhile, you're not seeing when your friends are playing, you're not seeing their stats, whatever. At a certain point, you just want all the bells and whistles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's more than just patches and updates being taken care of without your intervention. When Albert used to help us out with videos, he was playing this game. I can't remember the name of it. It was a first-person shooter where you were trying to beat certain times, almost like you're running through an arena trying to shoot things.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good game. But he had played...
I have no idea.
Super colorful. Like, super colorful.
Yeah, Tyler from PC Gamer was hooked on it for a while.
Arrows, and it's like, it's a time run.
Oh, shit,
it's on the tip on all of our tongues.
It looks kind of like first-person Mario.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
But he was playing that game, and he had a cracked version of it at first, and then he got, like, the full retail version, and...
Only because he wanted the bells and whistles, right?
It was a different experience. And he got on the leaderboards, with it. Like, and you get access to things like that. You know, in a lot of games, it's multiplayer. You know, you can get a cracked version of the game and you can play single player all you want, but to be able to play multiplayer, then you've got to get a legit copy, or, you know, if you want to be able to, like, in Spelunky, compete and get on the leaderboards and, you know, get achievements if that's your thing. There's a lot of added benefits to it.
Man, so, that guy's good at video games, Albert. He's squandering it at work.
Yeah.
Not doing video games
just
anymore.
Wasting his life.
Wasting his life.
Working and earning money.
Yeah.
Maybe one day he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
This to me is exactly what I thought about music when the pirating of music started.
Right.
It's like, I will happily spend $16 on a CD if I get my money's worth on that $16. But instead of doing that, they started not including the booklets, not including, like, it ended up being just basically a CD in a box. And you're like, okay, you're like trying to get me to pirate it.
Not just that, but that band probably only had eight good songs, and the record company came up with the rest of them.
And not only that, the band is only making 5 cents a...
No, it's terrible.
On the
they were
CD.
Getting robbed, like, for so many years.
It's like how... everything's lined up to pirate against it. But
yeah,
it's now turning the other way in games. And I agree with this. I've never been a one to pirate. But
I mentioned a lot of reasons, but I didn't mention the whole moral thing. I've never thought it was okay or fuck them or anything like that. I always felt bad every time I torrented. So... this also alleviated the moral implications as well.
You don't seem to have qualms about TV and movies. What's the difference between games and TV and movies?
Because I honestly believe that... this is probably a stupid justification, but I wouldn't spend money on those anyway. Oh, okay. So, if I could budget it, I would. Okay. If a Steam came out for TV and movies...
which we've been talking about.
I've been talking about it forever.
Yeah.
If it came out, Netflix and Hulu and everything. No, this needs to be all-encompassing.
One service.
One service, everything. And all those studios get the money from them, but they won't do it. They're squabbling over what's left of the market.
Yeah.
You know? If they could all just not even get along. You're going to get the same revenue. Just get one service. It's going to happen. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
So once that happens, I swear to God,
I don't know if it's inevitable.
I think so, because...
I mean, we're still talking...
Netflix... did you Netflix, like, took off a bunch of shit this year? Like, just fell off, like, a lot of good shows.
Well, they lose the rights to it. When they pay for it, they only get it for a certain amount of time, and then they have to renew it by, you know, sometimes they have to pay more to renew it. So, yeah, they do tend to lose stuff and gain stuff, and you aren't guaranteed access to the same thing forever.
The head of these networks and the head of these motion picture associations and stuff, these are all people that were born with no internet.
I know, but... okay, Steam is an edge case, I really believe, because Steam was...
you mean like an outlier?
Yeah, like, Steam came on before it was profitable, before people knew what they were doing, and they said, this is what we're doing, and they slowly built it up until companies... realized that this was the best way to go, even though they could make their own. But we still have companies like EA, and we still have companies that try these other things. You know, this was an edge case. And for movies and TV shows, they don't have that. So now we got a bunch of different guys all thinking they can do their own, and there's no one that's big enough that they're going to say, okay, let's just go on to this one. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen with movies and TV shows.
The only reason I say that it's inevitable is because, one, pirating is rampant, and two, we're seeing a merger between the computer room and the living room. So I think that somewhere in there...
I don't know. If you can't get Google or Amazon to say, you know, like, if you can't get one of those guys... because Amazon, you know, with Amazon Prime, it's got all those, like, movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
You can't get them, if you can't get them all to go onto Amazon, one of the biggest internet companies that we have, I don't see it happening.
Well, it's hard to compare video games and movies the way that they sell them, because with movies and TV shows, you have these companies that are producing their own content now, like Netflix and Amazon. And of course, they want to keep that in their playing field, so you have to come to them. So content is king in that case. Steam is just a third party. They do make some of their own games, but for the most part, they just say, whoever wants to come here, and I think they take, what, like a 30% cut or something, I've heard? They take a pretty fat cut out of that. But if you want, to put your game on here and we'll take a cut of it, you know, that's your choice. Well,
but also, they're also giving you a delivery system. Just to throw something out there, Heavy Bullets, I would have never, ever played if it wasn't on Steam.
No.
You know, ever. Or you with the box or whatever it was.
The room.
Yeah. Never, ever would have even heard about it. Ever. 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And so there's a certain amount you have to concede. Okay, so let's look at it this way. Netflix has fuck you money at this point, right? They can pretty much do whatever they want. Right?
I mean, yeah.
Probably, right? Why not pay for the content? They pay for the content up front and then show them the numbers of how much is getting out there.
Because they literally can't buy, like, Sony or Warner Brothers or whatever. It would be like the same if Apple started making their own content. Would they put it on Netflix? No, because Apple is a direct competitor to Netflix. Like, you couldn't pay enough money to get Apple stuff onto Netflix. So, like, it just isn't feasible right now. Mm. And I hope it changes, but I don't see it happening.
Honestly, I think it's all changing of the guard. I think it's old business and new business is eventually going to... That's why I say it's inevitable.
I know, but you look at Steam and where's the money being made? In Steam, right? In the actual... Right. Not in the content, in the actual service. Everybody wants to be the service provider for TV shows. That's why they're having so many people fight over this.
Yeah.
And that's what it really comes down. Nobody wants to give up the service side of it. And until somebody steps up so big that they need everybody else has to bow down to them, it's just not going
to
happen.
And then you have to deal with the Trade Commission with like having a monopoly. So maybe it won't happen. Yeah. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we all said some really smart shit and sounded dumb doing it. So.
Somehow.
I don't know if any of that made any sense. I think bottom line, when I commented on that post, I was talking about an article... I'm going to be posting a link in the Steam group of just all these articles that I seem to constantly mention. And the one I was referring to, I think, was from the Cambridge student. It was an interview with Gabe Newell where he was taking Steam into Russia, and people said, you're going to get killed out there, that piracy is crazy. And he said, piracy is a service problem. And he went on to extrapolate on that, but he also talked about other things. But really, when it comes to piracy, they've tried to do a lot of things like DRM that have been ineffective. And I think what it comes down to is you can't punish people for pirating. You have to reward people for buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to make, you know, you have to give them a worthwhile product that they think is worth their money.
100% agree.
Yep.
All right. What else we got?
In gaming news. Well, I guess this isn't really gaming, but it affects it. YouTube plans on having an ad-free service for a monthly fee.
Yeah, so I just use AdBlock Plus, and that takes care of that for me.
Yeah.
But some do sneak through somehow.
Yeah, but you know what? AdBlock Edge, if you use Firefox, is even better. And then if you use Chrome uBlock, similar to uTorrent, it's not actually a U, it's that...
Upsilon?
Yeah, is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah.
God, that was sexy.
That's why I win at Drinking Jeopardy. Boom. I could be wrong, though, but I think it is.
No, you're probably right. I mean, that's what they have at, like, fraternities and stuff, is those weird numbers. Yeah, I think that Chad's the only college
letters.
Graduate here.
Weird numbers. So, I don't do any of those stuff, and I play the first 5-second ad and just click through it.
Some make you watch.
Only like 15-second ones.
Every now and then, if it's a popular channel, you will have to sit through like a 15-second ad.
Now, meanwhile, those Google ones are not Google. I'm sorry. Geico ones are so cool. Have you guys seen these ones? The ones that are only 5 seconds and they taunt you about not clicking go?
No,
you guys haven't seen this?
No.
So it's like only, what is it? 5 seconds, right?
Yeah, it's
so
a 5-second countdown.
You're not going to click through this one because it's already over, right? And then they freeze like the commercial freezes, but the actors are trying to not move. There's like six of them.
No, I haven't seen
that. Wow,
dude, that's funny because people always tell me about commercials on TV, and I was like, well, I don't watch TV and I don't watch commercials. You know, people are like talking about like they're doing like the cold cuts dance, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I know that one.
Yeah, but well, I do now. But
what I always thought they should do is their commercials should be 30 seconds of just one screen, because when you're fast forwarding or whatever, you can't catch a 30-second commercial, but if your 30 seconds are all one screen, you're going to be able to see that.
Again, it's the old guard, man, I think.
It'll be interesting to see if people actually do pay for this service. I think a lot of people already know about ways to remove the ads.
You would think. And also, people are they said themselves that they're piggybacking off of their own music service. That's apparently, I guess it's Google Play or something. There's something that you can pay for. It's $10 a month, and you can play all the songs that you want off of YouTube. I forget the name of it, but apparently it went crazy in the first couple months. So off of that, they're like, okay, let's do this.
Well, they've had a lot of successes, but they have had some failures, too. I remember a while back they did, they were offering YouTube channels. You could get a racing channel, a sports channel. It would just show content constantly, and you would pay a couple bucks a month for that, and that tanked hard.
I'm wondering if, conversely, on this plan with YouTube, that they are going to be trying to fight ad blocker and stuff. Basically, try to supersede ad blocker to basically make you get their service if you want the ads and stuff.
I could totally see that, and I wouldn't fault them. I mean,
and it is very difficult to block ads on a phone. I mean, it's definitely possible, but it's a lot more work than just going to like Mozilla add-ons and installing AdBlock Edge.
The most aggressive ads I've seen is that on the Trivia Crack that we play. The ones for Game of War, which we're all sick of watching ads for.
Even with titties in your face, we're sick of that.
I don't think that goes that hot anyway.
You are insane, but whatever.
Anyway, you can't. That's the only one. You can click out of all of them except for that one. It's really aggressive. You got to watch like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's tough. Of titties.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I'm complaining.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
All right, OnLive shuts down. They're gone. Yeah.
Womp, womp, womp.
Crazy. You know what? Like, I'm not surprised this happened because nobody was using OnLive, but at the same time, this is like the future we were all talking about. Like, you can just get games streamed to you, and you could. And they actually had a really good... I think Sony bought up their technology.
No, Gaikai. Sony bought Gaikai.
Gaikai?
Yeah. Huh. Not OnLive.
Huh. Someone bought... OnLive's
the worst name I've ever heard.
Gaikai? Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Like somebody has questionable sexuality.
Side note, can you guys do the prices right when they get it wrong?
What the fuck are you talking about?
I just did the womp womp womp. Oh. But that's not the...
That's what you're talking about.
Okay. We can go back to OnLive. I was just curious.
I don't know what OnLive is. It's where you can stream games, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a service that you pay for, and you can stream games. There's a really good video explaining how it all works, and that they were actually offering some really good deals near the end of it, and you could get your first 2 weeks free. But basically, you have a library of games. You click on the one you want to play. You start playing it. People can watch. You can go to like other people's games, watch them, and communicate with them in a limited way. I don't think you can actually talk or text to them.
So much of emojis.
So why do you think it failed, Bobby?
Why
aren't we playing? I guess is a question. Because a lot of people,
like myself, have already built up quite a big library, and I think a lot of people like having it on their hard drive so they can tamper with it and change things. I mean, that's just a PC gamer mentality. Is they like just having it on their computer.
Did OnLive not work for consoles?
No, I've never heard of it go to consoles.
I don't think
anyway, this was PC specific. I respectfully disagree, Bobby. I think it's probably our internet speeds and latency and stuff like that. We're renowned, or what's the opposite? It's negative. Anyway, infamous for our lack of internet speeds. Like the Asian countries are just like through the roof. They're at G5 already. So G5 is faster than our cable landlines. So they've got all those net cafes and stuff. They're doing that because their internet's fucking just through the roof. Their phones are faster than our PCs at home.
Yeah. Even it could be Bobby, connectivity problems, but I don't think it took that much bandwidth. I mean, obviously you have to have a decent amount, but think of all the games that we do play that are online and are completely dependent on having an online experience. You know, any MOBA, you know, if you lose your internet, game's over.
I think it comes down to marketing. We didn't see any commercials. We didn't see any advertisement.
I saw maybe a couple years ago.
But like, so I feel like they promoed the hell out of this. I saw this all over the place.
I remember the promo had like a page of a bunch of people playing games, and it kind of zooms into a couple. I kind of remember that ad. But yeah, it's the right decision a little too early. We don't have the internet. And it's not because we're not advanced, from what I hear. The Asian countries are a lot smaller than ours. And so they're connected, literally connected a lot knit tighter than we are over here. We're just spread out too far. So
it's kind of sad though. I'm sure maybe somebody else will buy the rights
for it. Nvidia is trying their grid system, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah, well, they said that we have developed some magic, and the magic will make it impossible to detect latency. So
I'm wondering if, because basically this is a pick-up-and-play service if somebody wants to buy this. So I'm wondering if maybe Google or Amazon or, you know, like one of these big
companies.
Someone
did buy it. I can't remember who, but someone did buy it. And I wonder if, see, I don't know. I feel like this was actually a really good service, and I'm trying to just find the reason why people didn't jump onto it. And I think it's very comparable to Netflix. You know, imagine Netflix, instead of movies, you had video games. You know, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Like, maybe you lose your save files. I don't know how they handled save files. I mean, there's a lot left to question that I never got answers for. But I don't know. It's gone now, so I guess it doesn't matter.
Maybe that's why. You know, Bobby, who knows everything about everything gaming-wise, doesn't know the intricacies of this.
That's why I think it's a marketing problem.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Because nobody knows. I don't even think about a game like on live, but I know Gamefly, even though I don't rent games, because I've seen their fucking ads everywhere and Blake Griffin fucking advertising for this fucking Gamefly.
Their ex-CEO right now just listened to our podcast. Yeah. They're listening to this. He just grabbed a knife and he's walking over to the old marketing director's house.
Killing him. And then himself.
I don't think it was a marketing problem, but I don't know. I think...
What do you know, Bobby?
I don't know. What do I know? I don't know. I came very close to actually doing the 2-week trial because I really wanted to see what this was all about and what the experience was like. And I watched
the 2-week trial was free.
Mm-hmm.
On your PC, you didn't have to do anything, and you still didn't do it.
Dude, that's 2 clicks. No, which is like one.
You had to sign up. It was one of those, you know, give them your credit card information, but they don't bill you for 2 weeks. So I didn't know if I wanted to go through all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, so next up, Grand Theft Auto 5 is on 7 DVDs.
Is that crazy?
For the PC or for...
For the PC that's coming out.
Yeah, okay, but who's buying PC games on DVDs these days? People in remote areas, probably.
Yeah, I don't think they're printing out too many of these, but Chad seems to think a lot of people are buying these, but...
Enough that they still make them on DVDs.
No, I'm saying for consoles. On consoles, most of the purchases are discs and not... And not digital.
God, you guys are cavemen.
No, I'm...
Console gamers are cavemen.
It's true. I agree 100%. Yeah. But I'm saying right now, the numbers are ridiculous on consoles as far as disc versus digital.
There's not a whole lot we can say about this, but that is a little ridiculous.
Wait, GTA 5 came out on Xbox.
And
so that was Blu-ray.
Okay. So it was one?
So, well,
or two, maybe?
70 DVDs, I think, is a double layer Blu-ray. So one double layer Blu-ray or 7 DVDs.
A double layer Blu-ray?
Yeah, 50 gigs is a double layer.
Yeah, you can get all that shit on. One DVD is a little under 4.5 gigs.
Okay.
So 7, 28, add a few. Yeah, you get all that on one Blu-ray.
Yeah.
But I want to see what the box looks like. I mean, that's got to be, like, do they have fancy artwork or something? You know how they do that when they sell a TV show?
The selling point is, you pick up the thing and it's 2 pounds. I'm like, I'm getting my money's worth here.
Yeah.
All those fucking DVDs.
Do you remember when the 5 1/4 inch discs or floppies were the ones to go? Like, the big ones?
Mm-hmm.
I remember buying a game that had 28 floppies. that you had to like
oh my God.
Put in. And like you were excited. Like, holy shit, this game is 28 fucking floppies. And then it went to the small 3.5 inch.
And 3.5 held 1.44 megs. And the 5.25 held like half a meg or something or less.
So I remember one with 28 of these, of the big ones. Yeah. And then I also remember...
Were they numbered at least?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was from Sierra, because everything was from Sierra back then. And it was like you were shuffling through trying to find which disc goes next. And you had to literally sit at your computer for the whole time because you're swapping...
Hot for those of you who don't know what floppy disks were, they were kind of like playing cards with oatmeal in it.
They were your old version of memsticks, right? Basically.
Yeah. Like, well, Windows 3.1 was on 8 different 3.5-inch floppy disks, I remember. Like 8 of them. Like if you were installing your operating system, you'd take one out, put the next one in.
And I just talked about this last week. What game was I saying that was going to be 100 gigs or close to 100 gigs? Was it Witcher 3?
Yes.
Something like crazy. Something coming down the pipe that's like ridiculous.
Star Citizen?
Star Citizen.
Were we talking about that?
Witcher 3. Oh my God. It's almost like every week they put another 5 minutes out and it's just like...
I have that perp. It's bought in my library. So nice. if you're not buying it, you can family share.
Well,
it.
If you want to run it, you're gonna have to come over to my room anyway.
Seriously,
and only
no.
Just
Bobby's
barely.
Buying this $1,000 Titan jerk.
That's right, Nix. One of these days, when I
and
get
then
some
he's
money.
Giving me his old shit. I don't think I even have the hard drive space to put. To put Witcher.
He's paying extra for the Titan XXX.
Yeah.
It's got titties on it.
Yeah, exactly. Plastic titties. It's got little plastic titties on it. Like your thing last week, your simulator.
Oh, yeah.
Your melon simulator.
We're going to have to wrap this up soon.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. What do we got next?
Speaking of games coming out, Deus Ex, Mankind Divided. Trailer looks... Well, the trailer is a cinematic trailer. They don't show any gameplay.
Which is illegal, right, in Europe?
Yeah, I bring it up every time. Yeah. But yeah, it's. But then again, you go to the. What was the first one called?
The very first one?
No.
Human Revolution.
I mean, the graphics in game are so beautiful in that game that you know that.
God, I gotta play that.
Yeah, that's probably one of my favorite. Story wise, like as far as narrative goes, it's probably one of my favorite games. Probably my favorite story in a game ever.
Better than Spec Ops?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And this is one of my favorite trailers currently. Like, I love trailers. And this fucking really looks great.
Yeah. And it looks like it picks up right where the first one left off. And you can get Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut, which includes the expansion they released later. And it includes it in the right part of the video game. The expansion happened, like, I don't know, halfway through or two-thirds of the way through the original game. And it... The director's cut automatically includes that. They fixed the boss fights. They polished up everything. So, totally, if you haven't played that, I would definitely recommend it. But you're looking at like 25 hours. Like, it's a long game.
Let me cut you off a little bit, Bob.
No, we don't do that.
Yeah. So, if you finished the game and then the DLC came out, you had to go back in time, if you will, in your gaming time.
Well, most DLC or expansions don't continue the story because people get pissed off. They're like, well, I just finished the story. Now you're adding more to it. Right. So a lot of expansions will happen as kind of side quests or sub-stories of different characters that happen
prequels
during...
Sometimes.
Yeah, same thing with Mass Effect 3. Like any expansion you get for that is maybe following a more obscure character doing something.
Who paid for that garbage, am I right?
No, I don't know. Did you?
No,
I don't have any of those. I do. I think I got one for free.
I thought you did. I was trying to shit on you.
You were trying.
Denied. All right, what else we got?
I think that's it.
Should we talk about what we're playing next week?
Yeah, well, I will obviously be playing the Talos Principle and possibly Tyranno Builder.
That sounds awesome. What is that?
Do you build dinosaurs?
Tyrannosaurus?
This is a game development tool.
Where dinosaurs?
I don't know why they call it Tyranno Builder, but I saw this and I was like, I pretty much have to buy this. For $15, you can develop your own visual novel.
Oh, wow.
Titties!
If it doesn't have...
That's not the end either. I just got excited.
Yeah. If it doesn't have pigeons in there, I will be supremely disappointed.
No, I'm going to make a game about us.
Hold on. We got to take this back. He went from, I'm curious what they are, to played one and hated it,
yep.
to third week. I know about them vaguely still.
Yeah.
Fourth week, somehow still know about every single one that's ever
been made. Still accurate.
Yeah. Fifth week, making them.
Yeah.
Making them.
That's because, all right, all visual novels are pretty much shit, as far as I can tell at this
but
point.
But you're going to do it right.
I'm going to make the best visual novel anyone has ever seen.
Wait.
Oh,
ever.
Man, that's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's taking us to the
pictures?
Top.
It's going to be with pictures?
Oh, yeah, it's going to look, I mean, not like that.
No. I meant like photo pictures.
Yeah, it doesn't come with any pictures. You have to make your own. But, I mean, I could take, I could Photoshop this shit. You know, I could like take pictures in Photoshop.
We'll talk about it after.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll put together
a team. What's the name of
your
company?
Is it going to be titties?
I don't know.
I think it should be tentacle rape.
No, here's you want to hear. Here's my pitch. All right, here's the story. Okay. All right, it's about us.
Are you being serious? First, time?
This is an idea. You know, we're brainstorming.
No. Here. But did you buy this thing?
Not yet. No.
Oh,
but I probably will. I mean, okay. $15.
$5 each.
All right.
Yeah. To be fucking famous for the best visual game ever.
Best visual novel ever. These retards in DL Gaming somehow came up with this fucking masterpiece that everybody wants to play.
When quoted on the game, they said, huh?
That's exactly how that shit would go down.
Okay, anyways.
All right. Okay.
So that's what... Yeah, okay.
In all seriousness, I'll probably just be playing a ton of Talos Principle.
Let's be honest. You're going to play a lot of Heroes of the Storm.
I'm going to try to... I'm hoping when Killing Floor 2 comes out that's going to help me kick the Heroes of the Storm habit, but okay. No guarantees. Talos Principle, I don't know if it'll do it.
Bob, I swear to God, why haven't you linked your Steam? If I saw that you were playing that, I would jump on. I've been free about... You got to link your shit.
I don't think you can.
Oh, because you're offline. That's right.
Off yeah.
Offline. Right.
Gotcha. I'm hiding out on Steam.
Gotcha.
Chuck?
So what are you guys
going
to be playing?
So they got a sale going on right now for Plague Incorporated. I'm thinking of picking that up.
Oh, yeah.
I've had it on the iPhone. Was it? Well, I never beat it once, so...
I've actually played a good amount of that game. I've never talked about it, but...
Have you ever beat it, Bob?
It's early access, though. You're not doing early access.
Well, on PC.
On PC.
It's been mobile for years.
Oh, did you play on mobile?
No, I played it on Steam. I beat it on... Well, I haven't beat the entire game, but I've done several of the diseases.
Is it worth the $10?
I don't know. $10, and that's about what I got it for too. I think I had traded some TF2 keys for it, but I don't know. It very much feels like a mobile game. I don't know if it's a $10 deal or not.
Okay.
Can I get you motherfuckers to play some Darkest Dungeon? So
yeah, yes, yes, I will play some Darkest Dungeon. And the other thing is, every week we've got listeners putting stuff on. What would you like us to play?
Yeah.
And we have been ignoring that list. And I apologize to listeners. You know, when I have the money, I definitely like to throw down based on the list that you guys provide me. So, since I don't have a girl anymore, I have more money for gaming. And so I think I'm going to pull some stuff from that list. So, if you guys are interested in me playing something, go ahead and shout it out.
So, I'm spitballing here. But what if, you know how every week we have that little game? The loser of said game just goes on, has to buy the game, and then we play that game.
Which game are we? What are we talking?
Whatever
about?
Game, the make the game game.
Gotcha.
Or whatever it is, and the loser of that has to buy the game, and then we all family share it, and then we can talk about it, and we'll just go down that list every week. We'll take care of one.
I'm down. I mean, however you guys want to do it. I just think we should. I would like to go through that list more because I appreciate the listeners giving their 2 cents and asking us what we want to listen to, what they want to listen to. So I would like to go through.
I just want to say I'm meta as fuck. I'm podcasting planning on a podcast.
Yeah, that's crazy. Money. That's crazy.
Money.
Appreciate it. How about you? What are you going to play this week?
Darkest Dungeon.
Anything else? I'm going
to try to beat the second easy
boss.
I'm
so glad you have finally slowed down on Binding of Isaac.
Yeah, I'm thinking about picking up Skyrim again.
God,
I'm not kidding either. I have a niche. I got to go play that.
You literally, I want to slap you. Literally,
I'll stop playing it if you put in 10 hours. I will never touch it again if you play 10 hours.
10 hours?
10 hours.
I could do that. No problem.
Oh, there it is.
Okay.
Offer on the table.
If he can eat cheese for 3 days, he can play 10 hours.
Eat cheese for 3 days.
I'm talking about you. If you can eat cheese for 3 days, then you can do 10 hours of Skyrim.
I did. It's a whole nother story, but we can talk about that another time.
Chad's part rat now. That's a story.
As long as I'm Splinter.
There we go. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, Splinter did not
have... On that bombshell.
Do we have anything to promote?
No. Oh, just, you know, check out the website, dlgaming.net.
I got another $20 gift card, so we will have to come up with some contests. So maybe we'll put someone up on the group, or
we should just do a review giveaway.
You want to do a review giveaway?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's whenever we... I mean, it's only $20, but fuck it. Yeah, let's give it away to...
Podcast panning on a podcast. I like it.
Okay.
At least we save it till the end.
Tell them what they have to do.
Our review giveaways, if you've left a review for us, good or bad, on iTunes, then you are automatically entered in our review giveaways, which we do every so often whenever we get games or Steam money or anything we want to give away. We use a random number generator, pick somebody at random, and you could be the lucky winner of whatever the hell we're trying to get rid
forever.
Of. Yep.
You're entered forever. Why would he do it?
Take it for a lifetime.
So I gave the money to Fisty, and Fisty's like, I was like, hey, Fisty, could you please post something on the thing, on the Steam page, or on our group, just so people know that we paid up. You know, just, you know, hey, guys, or whatever.
So he goes on there,
hey, bitches, you motherfuckers lost and I won, or something to that effect. So.
But we did pay him his $100.
We did pay him.
Yeah. And he spent it all on TF2 items, right?
Yeah. Thank God he took a payment plan, because, whew, we were strapped for cash that week.
No, we weren't.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you can check out all our links, dlgaming.net. That will take you to our Twitter account, YouTube, which hopefully we're going to be having some content up pretty soon on that, coming back possibly, and our Steam group.
Cool.
Did it.